our class. This is chapter number 3, and this is page number 481, and we're still dealing with the book of foods. Chapter 3 and Hadith 1168. This chapter concerning Al-Aqiqah. And Al-Aqiqah, like the Udhiyah or Al-Adahi, which was the name for such occasion or the animal that you sacrifice in the day of Eid. So the Aqiqah is related to a sacrificial animal or to slaughter animal for a special occasion when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with a baby, regardless a boy or a girl. So you will sacrifice an animal showing your appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 7 days. So this sacrificial animal or this slaughtering animal that you do, and all this process is called Aqiqah. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عق عن الحسن الحمد لله يهديكم الله ويصلح لكم. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عق عن الحسن والحسين كبشا كبشا، رواه أبو داود وصححه ابن خزيمة وعبد الحق، لكن رجح أبو حاتم إرساله وأخرج ابن حبان من حديث أنس نحو. ذا حديث in the collection of الإمام أبو داود and Ibn al-Jarud, and the hadith is authentic inshallah, that reported from Ibn Abbas that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered a ram for each of his two grandsons, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, may Allah be pleased with them. Okay. The most authentic in this that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did two, but in this it says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sacrificed a ram at their birth, that means in the 7 days. Okay. In this Aqiqah is one of the sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he taught us to show our appreciation. And when you look to the Aqiqah and you look to the Udhiyah and you look to the Walima and all these things, all these occasions that in the Muslim's life, like when somebody get married, he make a walima. When somebody get a baby, he make aqiqah. When somebody in the day of Eid, he make udhiyah. He found how is Islam in different occasions will concern about the social life of the Muslims and their economic also. How to always be a means for the poor and the needy in the Islamic community, that to be fed. He found a lot of occasions, okay? And this shows how the Muslim is always supposed to be coming together and supporting and strengthening each other. And the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him wealth, he will give to the poor and the needy. And even if they are not a poor and needy, to share with the Muslims in general is something to develop this kind of brotherhood. And as I said, that this aqiqah be done for the boy as well as the girl. The hadith is authentic. The next hadith in page 482, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرهم أن يعق عن الغلام شاتان مكافئتان وعن الجارية شاة. رواه الترمذي وصححه أخرج أحمد والأربعة عن أم خرز الكعبية نحوه. ذات This hadith, which in the collection of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi and reported by Aisha, and the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered them, okay, to sacrifice two sheep, okay, two sheep for the boy and one sheep for the girl. And as I said, this will be after the birth in the 7 days. These other things supposed to be done, like shaving the hair and circumcision and giving a name to the child and to give a charity to the poor and the needy, equal to the hair, gold and silver, all the things, okay, is part of the aqiqah. But this hadith is showing, the first hadith shows the permissibility of having one, okay, for the boy. And this hadith that showing that giving two in behalf of the boy and one in behalf of the girl. And when you say mukafi'atan, that both of them are equal in the weight, in the almost equal in everything, okay, to be the same, not a small one and big one, or 1 6 months and 1 a year or something like this. So the first hadith showed the permissibility of having one, and this second hadith shown us that what is better, okay, that you make two for the boy instead of one. Okay. Last hadith in the chapter, hadith 1170, عن ثمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كل غلام مرتهن بعقيقته تذبح عنه يوم سابعه ويحلق ويسمى. رواه أحمد والأربعة وصححه الترمذي. This hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, al-Tirmidhi, al-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah. The hadith is authentic, reported by Samura. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, was the meaning of every child, okay, is bound against his aqiqah to be slaughtered in his behalf on the 7 days, and his head to be shaved and to be given a name. So now, like I'm holding a bond, when you return what you own me, now you will get your whatever that you left in my possession back. So if somebody, what you call, collateral. Yeah, and you bought money, so now he holding this tape recorder or a watch or the gun until you bring the money back. So Rasulullah sallam given example by the child, okay, he is in such kind of position. What this mean? That mean if this child die before he reaches the age of puberty, child die while he's still a baby, okay, this child can be like act in position of intercession in the day of judgment to take by his father hand and his mother hand to paradise. Okay, so if the father did not do this aqiqah, his behalf, and he died in this, so now this will be a means of prevention for the child. So now you want to turn this clutter, or you want to turn it loose. How you can turn it loose? By going, returning the money back. So the same way that the child is being held back in position of intercession, asking forgiveness and taking you to paradise if you die as a baby, if you did not do this in behalf. And this is one of the tafsir came concerning this hadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also, the hadith shows us the necessity of doing the aqiqah, and when also be to be done. He said yawm sab'i, the seven of his, the 7 days of that he born. Also, the hadith shows other things to be done, that the shaving of the hair, okay, and also to be given a name. All these things is permissible to be done, okay, before. As example, circumcision can be done, in case you understand, in the hospital you could not find a doctor later on, or for people they have to make a birth certificate now and you have to do it before you leave the hospital, otherwise you have all this headache, you can give him the name, okay. But the aqiqah, the slaughtering the animal, should be done in the seven. Some people maybe they did not have the means to do it in the seven, so they can do it in the 14 or the 21, okay, or otherwise they will do it whenever they have the financial means to do it, inshallah. And this is the last hadith for this chapter, inshallah. We have another small chapter that if you feel so, we can try to have it for tonight. This is chapter number 13, inshallah. The book of oaths and vows. Kitab al-Ayman wal-Nuzur. Ayman, yameen, swearing, okay. Is there any?
In order for it to be authentic, do we have to shave the head, or can it just leave the hair? Is that part of it?
It is part of the aqiqah. Rasulullah said in the hadith, وَيُحْلَقُ وَيُسَمَّى. Okay? So, shaving the head is part of the aqiqah. Okay? Shaving the head is part of the aqiqah.
So, if somebody, let's say, he is an adult, and his parents did not do aqiqah for him,
mm-hmm.
or if he's a convert,
yes,
to Islam,
yes,
what should he do?
He should do it in his behalf. If his father doesn't did it for him, or is not willing to do it for him, he do it to release himself from this bond also, because murtahan, it can be more than one possibility, okay, that he could not intercede for his parents, or that he could not, you understand, get such a reward, okay?
Also, if you are converted into...
Yes, why not? Yes.
Does it count with the girls too?
Yes. Anything in Islam applies to male and female, except if there is an exception to show that this only for women, or this only exception for men, okay? So, as I said, if the person has the means and he knows that his father didn't do it in his behalf, or he became a Muslim, he should go ahead and do it in his own behalf. You are not losing, okay? You're getting a reward by doing this, inshallah. This chapter concerning Al-Ayman al-Nuzur, Al-Ayman is taken or derived forward Al-Yameen, because when the people they used to make like want to confirm something, okay, they used to shake hands together, or like swearing and shaking hands together. So when they swear, or to each other, they going to do something, they used to put their two hands together, like give me a shake, like people give a shake on business here, you know. I think they do something like that.
Like I give my word.
Yeah. So coming from Al-Ayman, coming from Al-Yameen, okay, which is the right hand. Nazur is nazr, tawawul, to make a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm going to do such and such if such a thing happened to me. Okay? So this is what the chapter is concerning. The first hadith, hadith Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, عن Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أنه أدرك عمر ابن الخطاب في ركب وعمر يحلف بأبيه فناداهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا إن الله ينهاكم أن تحلفوا بآبائكم فمن كان حالفا فليحلف بالله أو ليصمت. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, is the narrator of the hadith. And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhim, the hadith is authentic. That Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, heard him while he was in with a group of people traveling and swearing by his father. Like somebody would say, with my honor, with the grave of my mother, or whatever it is. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming in, he calls him and he made a mention about this incident and he said, indeed Allah forbids you to swear by your fathers. Whosoever have to swear, let him swear by Allah or remain silent. Okay? Swearing by others than Allah, it can be a form of shirk, is one of the major sins, okay? And that a person, if he have to confirm something, or to confirm or affirm something, and he have to do this, he can swear by Allah. It's permissible to do so. And you make sure that when you swear that you are truthful on what you're saying. Don't be a liar, because it's a serious business. And a person who swear by Allah lying is a great sin also. And if a person is going to find himself getting indulging in other than swearing by Allah, so he have to remain silent, because this is not permissible in Islam, and this is a form of shirk, associating a partner beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another version, that the Abi Dawood, لا تحلفوا بآبائكم ولا بأمهاتكم ولا بالأنداد ولا تحلفوا إلا ولا تحلفوا بالله إلا وأنتم صادقون. Okay, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbidding them to swear by their fathers or their mothers or by the idols. Okay, and don't even swear by Allah except if you are truthful. You sure you know what he's saying is true, now you can use the name of Allah. In the next hadith, hadith 1172, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, يمينك على ما يصدقك به صاحبك. Okay? That your oath or your swearing, it have to be according the intention of your partner. Okay, like we talking together about this car here. He say, you sure man? He say, I swear by Allah. Okay, but you in your mind, you swearing by Allah, yes, it's $500, but this $500 was for, I understand, renting the apartment. But the man is talking about the car. So the man, he's talking about, he say, yes man, by Allah it's $500. But he didn't say $500 I spend on the car, while you spend only $300. Okay? And the man thinking that you're talking about the car, but in your mind, you're talking about the deposit that, and the rent you bought for the apartment was $500. So that means you are lying, because when you swearing to this person that you're talking with, you're supposed to be swearing about what is the conversation is going about and what is the subject that is involved there. So whatever he's swearing, it have to be according the understanding and the intention of the other person. Okay? Not you be in one valley and he's in one valley, you're talking about something in your mind and he have something else, and both of you talking about two different things. So if you in yourself that you are right, because you're talking about the apartment, and the man he was talking about the car, you still as a liar, although you use the name of Allah and you swear, he's still a liar, because the man was not in his mind anything about the apartment, was about the car. So the intention of both of you, it has to be the same. That means the subject, whatever that you're talking about and what you're swearing about. So from this hadith, it is very important that we be truthful whenever we speak, that we don't play games with the name of Allah, and that we don't swear by anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless whatever how dear this thing to us. The next hadith, there is another narration for the hadith which in the collection of Imam Muslim, which is authentic also, Al-Amin ala niyat al-mustahlif. Okay? An oath is to be interpreted according to the intention of the one who takes it. Okay? Hadith 1173 in page number 484. وعن عبد الرحمن ابن سامرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإذا حلفت على يمين فرأيت غيرها خيرا منها فكفر عن يمينك وأت الذي هو خير. متفق عليه. وللبخاري فأتي الذي هو خير وكفر عن يمينك. وفي رواية لأبي داود فكفر عن يمينك ثم أتي الذي هو خير. All the narration, all this ahadith, okay, hadith 1173 are authentic. Okay, one which in Bukhari and Muslim, and one in Bukhari only, and one in Abu Dawood. All of them are correct. That when you swear and after you give your oath or your swearing and you saw something else better, so you make expiation, make correction for this oath and do the other one as example. Okay, you swear that you're going to spend, okay, two nights.
السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بلغك الله السلامة في أمان الله. في أمان الله. You swear that you said to somebody, okay, that I swear I'm not going anywhere, okay, I'm going to be here. A little while somebody came and saying my car is broken, I need a ride to the train station. Okay, although you swear that you're not leaving, but now there is something better that you're going to help your Muslim brother. Okay? So what's going to happen with this oath that you swear? Although this is what you meant, your intention was good, that you are not leaving this place. So now you make a kafara, make expiation, okay? Like as example, you fast this 3 days for this oath, and you go ahead. You swear that you are not going to talk to your brother or your cousin anymore. He was angry and he said, okay, I swear by Allah, I never talk to you again. Or I'll never speak to you again, you understand? You don't make salah. I don't want to even see you anymore. So later on you found this person, Allah bless him, and he became, started making salah. You already made an oath. So now you can make expiation by feeding 10 poor people or giving them clothes. Or if you could not have enough money to feed these people or dress them, you fast 3 days. Okay? So you make a correction, you make expiation for your oath, and you go ahead and do something different.
No question.
No.
The same thing like if you give your oath, whatever, you wanna like buy a car and you see the same car for a cheaper price, or now that's better for you. So now you're not gonna buy the car from this person. Maybe you gave him your word that you was gonna buy it from him, whatever. Or something like this, you see.
Mm.
Not necessarily has to do with what some of this religious, like, you know, helping your Muslim brother, or you know, not talking to somebody because they don't pray, whatever.
Okay. We have to look, you understand, this we're talking about the swearing now. Now we're going to have to check what kind of harm happened to the person, because maybe he deleting another deal he has, okay, and he lost some money as a result of this. This have to be some kind of compensation here, or some kind of try to see if he had caused him any damage as a result of this, okay. But the problem here is not what you're going to do in the hadith or the chapter. It's talking how you're supposed to do about the oath, and that the oath that you made it is not supposed to stop you to do something good. Okay?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, if you tell me, okay, I'm buying it, I give you my word and finish. Now I somebody else coming and they say, I want to buy it for $2,000, and they say, no, I already promised Habibu it. Now you come next week and say, oh, I made an oath and I fast 3 days and I don't have anybody because this was the last day for the bargain is gone. So now I lost my money. What am I going to do? You go fast 3 days. What about the 2,000 I lost? So say, go to what is the best, what is best or what is better, and make expiation for your oath. You see, there is something in Islam called la darar wa la dirar. You don't harm yourself not to be harmed by others, or don't harm yourself and don't harm others. And you have to deal to the people the way you want them to deal to you also. Fairness. Islam is about fairness. And لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you will be a believer until he love for his brother what he love for himself. How do you feel if somebody did this to you? Say, hey man, I fasted 3 days, I'm free from your oath. The other narration is saying, فكفر عن يمينك ثم أتي الذي هو خير. That means the last narration says that first make the expiation, and after this go and do that what is better. And as I said, the hadith is authentic. So never let your oath stop you of doing good things. Say, I swear by Allah, I'm never going to talk to this man. I'm never going to enter his house. I'm not going to do, you understand, any business with him. All these things, okay? So, or I'm not going, you understand, go to the masjid anymore. I don't like this imam there. He's not good leader. He can be a teacher only. Okay, but be an imam later for him. But later on you feel bad, you understand. So what, I don't like the imam, this is his problem, but this is the masjid of Allah, I should go and make salah. So now what you going to do about it? Say, oh, but I swear by Allah, I'm not going to enter the masjid anymore. No, you go and make correction for this oath, okay, in actuality the remedy is supposed to be a freeing a slave first. But when I didn't mention this because we don't have slaves nowadays, maybe in the future inshallah, okay, when we go make jihad. Excuse me?
I said that mean too, but
yes. Like when you go make jihad and you're going to take people captive and you have a captive, now you're going to free the slave to make up for this oath. If not, so you feed 10 poor people. If you could not, you dress them. If you could not, will be what? To fast 3 days. Hadith 1174 عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من حلف على يمين فقال إن شاء الله فلا حنث عليه. Okay. Hadith reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Ibn Hibban and Abu Dawood and the Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah. And the hadith, as I mentioned already, is authentic. If somebody he swear by Allah that I'm going to do this, but he said inshallah, if Allah will, okay, and if it happened that it didn't go through, he is not a liar, neither he have to make up for this oath. But you don't wait for 2-3 days or after the person leave and he say inshallah. Okay, you don't do this. All right, you do it if a person say, because your intention is good, they say, okay man, I told you I'm going to take care of this and I swear by Allah I'm going to do it inshallah. Because you never know, you may go, you understand, and you say the computer down because the year 2000 now and there's no any more flights for 1 week. So your intention you were doing and you go swear and you affirm this to the man and he said inshallah. So now when you go and there is no flights, now you could not go and take care of this business for him, you don't have to fast 3 days to make up for this. Okay, but as I said, when he said inshallah, it have to be said right away there. Yes.
What about like if nothing stops the oath, you don't want to do it anymore? Like you say,
Allah,
inshallah, I'll take you to the store. And then after that, you don't feel like
taking
the
shoes. I have to ask the Sheikh about this. When he said it, you mean it? That you will take him to the store?
Yeah.
And he didn't go because nothing happened except you felt lazy.
Yeah.
So didn't Allah will? Inshallah. In page number 485 وعنه قال كانت يمين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ومقلب القلوب رواه البخاري. Anyway, it's something very important before I forget that we shouldn't have the name of Allah like a game in our tongue. Everything, you understand, oh, by Allah, by Allah, by Allah, you see. This occasion, there is certain occasion, if you don't say to the person by Allah, he's not going to trust you, especially if you're dealing with big money or something very important for his life. Okay, what is not okay, I'm taking you to food line, I swear by Allah, okay, 10 times and all these things. We have to honor and be respectable to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. This hadith, which is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari, shows you one of the forms that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to use it for a swear. He used to say, nay, by the one who turns the hearts, change the hearts, the moods, the intentions, okay? Today you feel good, tomorrow you understand, you change your mind about it, okay? So how the person, his heart, And who has the control over the heart is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here in the state, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is swearing by Allah or one of his names. He's swearing by what? By the one who do the action, by which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like he's saying, nay, by the one who gave life and death. Okay? Which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith 1176. Okay, I'll speed a little bit. عن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال جاء عربي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله ما الكبائر فذكر الحديث وفيه اليمين الغموس وفيه قلت وما اليمين الغموس قال التي يقتطع بها مال امرئ مسلم هو فيها كاذب. This man which is Abdullah ibn Amr, may Allah be pleased with him, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith in Bukhari. The hadith is authentic and say to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the major sins? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, and after this, one of the things from the major sins, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-yamin al-ghamus, false swearing or false oath. So the man asked the Prophet ﷺ, what do you mean by this false oath? The Prophet ﷺ replied and said, the one which by possessing the property of your Muslim brother by no just cause. Okay? You say, oh Allah, I this is mine, you understand? You say, oh, it look like mine exactly. You say, no, it's by Allah, this is my pen, man. I spent $10 in it. Okay? So the man, he will let it go. Okay? So you swearing and you lying. And as a result of this, you was able to take the property of the other Muslim. Okay? So it's a form of using Allah's name to make the person trust you so you can take his property. This is called Yamin al-Ghamus, false oath. And this is one of the major sins. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها في قوله تعالى لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم قالت قول الرجل لا والله وبلا والله. I don't know if you have this in English or no, but this is one of the ways that when Arab people talk, say when they talk in the phone, والله يا اخي انا مش عارف ايه كده. اوكي لا والله انا ما اوكي. So I don't know if you have the same way in English or no. So we saying by Allah, but we don't mean to swear. Okay, when you going in the conversation and you talking, okay, you said to him, did you see Ahmed last night? I said, no, by Allah, I didn't see him, but you understand, when I was going someplace, okay, so the word by Allah, it comes in our conversation. As I say again, I don't know if this is in the English way they do this or no. You say, I swear by Allah, I swear by Allah, but you don't mean I swear by Allah, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His goodness and His mercy, He doesn't take us by what we didn't mean when we mention in His name like this, which is almost can be a form of a swearing, but you don't mean to swear. And if I'm not mistaken, you found this in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Okay, verse number 89. Allah said, Allah will not punish you for what you're unintentional in your oath. Okay. Page number 486. Okay, would you mind to put a break for a minute? Thank you. Okay, tfadl.
I'll wait if you want. I'll wait if you want.
Oh, thank you. It's nice of you.
No problem.
Must your wife made you a nice dinner.
Yeah.
You're having a good mood tonight. 1178. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنهما عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لله 99 اسما من أحصاها دخل الجنة. متفق عليه. This hadith that reported by Abu Huraira, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim رحمة الله عليهما, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses 99 names, and whosoever retains them, he will enter paradise. Whosoever retains them in his memory, in living according them, memorize them, all the things, will enter paradise. So what's the relationship of this hadith and what we're talking about? Because you can swear by Allah or any one of Allah's names. You don't have to say by Allah. You can say by Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Okay? So this is the reason that this hadith came in this chapter. وعن أسامة بن زيد رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صنع إليه معروف فقال لفاعله جزاك الله خيرا فقد أبلغ في الثناء. This hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban, reported by أسامة بن زيد, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if anyone do any kindness deed to you and you in return you said to him, may Allah give you reward, jazakallahu khayra, may Allah reward you good, indeed he has fully expressed his appreciation. Okay, hadith 1180 عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه نهى عن النذر وقال إنه لا يأتي بخير وإنما يستخرج به من البخيل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade them making vows. Okay, because making a vows, making a condition in yourself is not good, because maybe you are not able to fulfill this condition, maybe something happened to you, you understand, like somebody said, inshallah if Allah makes this khutbah, this zawaj or this marriage easy, or this trip is easy, if Allah give me this degree, I'm going to sacrifice a cow and donate it to the poor and the needy people. Okay, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me understand such and such, I'm going to buy 10 Quran for the masjid. Okay, this is what you call making a vow, making a promise to Allah, but it's a conditional. If Allah do this for me, I will do this. Okay,
it's called bargaining with God.
Bargaining with God.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's what
he
basis is on.
Yes.
God do this for God.
He's got
to do that.
Yeah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbids him to do this, and he said doesn't bring any good. Okay. Because you know everything has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you trust in Allah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. But it is only a means by which something is extracted from the miser person. Okay? Is a means to get something out of this good that you hold in. Okay? Because you are not giving it in a normal condition. So now you're waiting for something to happen for it to happen. Okay? So it is better for the person not to make the vows. Okay, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with something and you give part of it, this is good, but don't make condition or make a bargain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
If I didn't understand the al-bakhil, al-bakhil part,
يعني الإنسان البخيل هذا لا يستخرج منه هذا الجود, لأنه هينفق. متى بينفق؟ ما مش يعني إذا الله أعطاه راح ينفق. إذا الله زوج البنت هذا راح يتبرع, فإذا ما تزوج ما راح يتبرع, فهذا يعني نتيجة بخله. فهذا متى يخرج من البخيل؟ لما بيكون في عملية النذر هذه. فالنذر اصبح طريقة لاخراج some of the good من البخيل.
يعني مثلا واحد نذر اذا واحد نذر
تليفوني قد يكون من سوريا ولا من عند بتاع الاجنحة
ان شاء الله نور ميبي
طيب
let's say somebody said you know at work if I get a raise for example then I will
give $100 to the masjid
where is the miserly coming from that's what I don't
because he didn't give until he made a condition only you give if you get, yeah but you're supposed to spend even if you don't get and Allah knows best okay Hadith 1181 the hadith is sahih but is mawquf عن عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كفارة النذر كفارة يمين okay كفارة النذر كفارة اليمين so if a person made a vows and could not fulfill it he will do what the same thing like when he make an oath free a slave feed 10 poor people or give them clothes or do what fast 3 days and the next narration is sahih but mawquf also that from Abu Dawood عن ابن عباس من نذر نذرا لم يسميه فكفارته كفارة يمين ومن نذر نذرا في معصية فكفارته كفارة يمين ومن نذر نذرا لا يطيقه فكفارته كفارة يمين okay that when a person make a vow but he didn't make it how much he's going to give okay if Allah give me a raise I will give something but he didn't make it okay so the expiation of it and the correction of it is what to same thing like the oath or that he made a vow beyond your ability say if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this give me this woman in marriage I will sacrifice and give fi sabilillah 100 camels